Well, hello and welcome to Education Matters. We have a special program today and have some special guests with us. So Allison Evans is a counselor at Sycamore Elementary School, and Tracy Neighbors is the principal at Sycamore. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Well, we are delighted to have you here, and we're going to celebrate a little bit on a recent announcement at Sycamore. But first, maybe some of the listeners may not know about you, so just give everybody a little bit of your background. And Tracy, you want to start first?
I'll be glad to. I'm Tracy Neighbors. I have been in education in Putnam County for 31 years. Attended Sycamore Elementary as a student, and now I've been principal there for 9 years, and it's very sweet to be home. I grew up here, and my parents still live here, as well as one of my brothers. So Cookeville is definitely home to me, as well as Sycamore.
Sort of a special thing to be in
yes,
your hometown.
Sir. Yeah.
And Allie?
Yeah, I'm Allie. I'm the school counselor at Sycamore, and I've been there for 10 years now. And it is the only job I've had in education. I came out of my master's in counseling, and I've been at Sycamore Elementary School ever since. First, it was with Mr. Ed Wheaton as the principal, and then Miss Tracy came in the next year. And I'm also from Cookeville, born and raised, and been here pretty much my whole life. So,
well, it's great that you both are at Sycamore. It's a great school, and it's great to have you on the program. So, Tracy, tell us a little bit about Sycamore these days. Just tell us about this school and the students and its history.
Okay. It's a small school located right next door to Sycamore Church of Christ. We have grades pre-K through fourth grade, approximately 320 students, depends on what day of the week it is. And we have 28 teachers with lots of support staff. It's a very special place to work. It's family-oriented, and the teachers and staff there treat the students like their own children. We have lots of specials. That would be the encore teachers that we have, and students enjoy art, music, PE, those kinds of things. And it's just a great place to work, and we are very fortunate to be there.
And how long have you been principal?
9 years there.
And every student can tell you what the principal does, right?
Almost every student, some more than others.
So in addition to being the chief cheerleader for the school and the person the students relate to in the sense of the commander-in-chief of the school, what else do you do as principal?
Well, as principal, we have lots of decisions we have to make regarding school-related events. The things that we work on are curriculum-based, and we have a curriculum that's countywide, but we follow that protocol and make sure that that's being done well. We have decisions on events at the school, and it has been sort of hard, you know, to make some of those decisions with COVID restrictions. But we like to think that we are family oriented, and we do include parents and guardians in everything that we do. And decisions are made with the Title I and Family Engagement Committee. So representatives from all areas are there, and we've got a meeting coming up very soon to decide some things for next year. We make decisions based on the money that we have that's allotted to us. And so I have a great assistant principal, Miss Deborah Robbins, and she is wonderful. We work well together, and we make a great team. So,
well, that's great. And Allison, your role as counselor has to have had a special challenge this year.
Yes, with COVID, but then even just the follow up from last year, where we had the tornadoes in our community. And going remote school and just all of the supports needed for students, and are students having enough food? Do they have the technology they need? All those aspects. And then also when you're with your family, maybe more than you were used to, and you can't go anywhere to have any kind of just distraction, that can cause some problems. And just making sure that our kids are well cared for and have supervision, and also can handle the natural relationships in their lives. So, and then coming into this year with all the COVID restrictions and all of that, that has definitely been a challenge, but it's not a challenge that's been impossible. And some of that is because our school comes together and just works so well as a team together.
It's a family, isn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, yeah, I think the kids have adapted maybe better than the adults have mm-hmm. in a lot of cases. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a couple of moments. But let's celebrate this great national award that you've won. It's called RAMP, if
yes.
I understand it. So tell us about that award.
Well, it means that we're a recognized school counseling program by the American School Counseling Association. And they are saying that our program is following the standards and the expectations of being a highly effective program. It says that our program is data-driven, and we're looking at the data. Is the program actually helping the students? It also shows that the program is comprehensive and wraparound care is happening. So it's not a standalone program, but I'm working with the administration, I'm working with parents and other stakeholders, and we're all coming together to try to meet the goals of the school. So instead of me just working on certain things that I think would be good for students, I'm looking at, well, what do my students at my school need? Where is the data showing that there's some things that are lacking? So, and then all my interventions are kind of built around that and what I'm doing. And mm-hmm. so when you have a RAMP program, you're saying that you're doing those things and that you're being accountable for your program. And that is helping.
Mm-hmm. And Tracy, how about from the entire school side? How has RAMP impacted the school?
Well, I think one of the biggest positives that has come from it is that we've worked as a team to identify our needs. And we've had a council that has met periodically and discussed the things that we need to do. The ideas have come together beautifully, and the team has worked well to make sure that we're focusing on those specific data points that have been identified for our school. So it's really made us aware of where we need to head and stay focused on that, you know, that trail. And make sure that our kids are benefiting from that. And like she said, the data has proven so it has.
And the whole student, we're looking at the whole mm-hmm, student. Mm-hmm. And what she referred to is called the advisory council. And that's one of the requirements you have to have. And it has members of the community. It has parents. And it has a teacher administration and district people on it. And we have two meetings. So the first meeting at the beginning of the year talks about what the program plans to do, asks for any input, and then the second meeting at the end of the year reports what the program impacts were and what the plan is going into the next year.
And wow. We do that academically with students.
Mm-hmm.
We focus on their deficit areas academically in the RTI program, and so this is just another level of that for students' social, emotional.
And so you had to meet national criteria. There were these national standards, and yet you had to tailor it to your student body at the same time. How tough was that?
Well, that's part of the standard, is that everybody will be different while still following what you need to do, still checking off the things. But my school might have a gap in third grade academics, so I'm going to tailor interventions to try to help third grade academics. But Capshaw's might be second grade attendance. Mm-hmm. I'm just using it as an example.
Yeah.
So her interventions would be looking more at that. But all of, as a school counselor, there's three, veins that I'm supposed to look at. And that is attendance, behavior, and academics. Those are the data pieces. As far as my lessons and interventions, they have to all be either college and career related, social, emotional related, or academic related. So I might not be doing 1+1 things, but I'm doing how can you focus in class? What's some study tips? Grit and trying hard, even when the content's hard, and not giving up. Those are the type of academic interventions I would do.
Wow. Well, we want to come back and talk a little bit about your counselor roles, but talk a minute about college and career ready. You mentioned that as an intervention, and intervention's a big word, but talk about what it means to the student and how college and career ready affects in the elementary school.
Right. Well, first off, the college and career lessons, I do whole classroom lessons on that for the whole school. And then for certain grades, I would go into different skill sets for that. So, for example, in fourth grade, we do an interest inventory, and we start really talking about, well, what jobs would you actually maybe enjoy? What would fit your personality? And then more in the younger grades, in kindergarten and first, we're looking at community helpers and what are the different jobs that make our community a great place, and everybody has a job and everyone's contributing to the community, and trying to kind of get them to start seeing the jobs in that way. So it builds as you go. And in fourth grade, we also look at different colleges in the area just for exposure, Tennessee Tech, and then also what are some of the other like vocational colleges, and then just careers that need just skill careers as well, just to kind of give them some exposure to those things.
Well, that's great experience for students, and you just can't start them too young in thinking about things like that. We'll talk about some of the other things that you can't start too young as we look at your counselor role too. But it is just phenomenal that we have a school that's been recognized as a ramp school, and we expect to continue to see great things on that. This is Local Matters, and we are talking to Allison Evans and Tracy Neighbors from Sycamore Elementary School, and we're going to take a quick break and be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Well, welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking education matters today, and particularly we're talking Sycamore Elementary School. And we're talking with Allie Evans, who is the school counselor, and Tracy Neighbors, the principal. And Allie, you were talking before the break a little bit about your role as counselor, but broaden that out a little bit and just talk about what school counselors in elementary schools do.
Yeah. Well, as a school counselor in elementary school, I do whole classroom instruction with every grade in the building. And that instruction, again, could be academic-related, college and career-related, or social-emotional-related. And then at that point, if a student needs more intervention by looking at the data and seeing, oh, wow, we've got some struggles with academics, or we have some struggles with attendance, or with social skills, then those students might be put into a higher level need of counseling, and I would do small group counseling with them. And then again, if they need even more support, then I would do individual interventions with them for a period. The counseling that I do when I meet with a student is solution focused. It's short term. It's how can we move and be successful in the classroom? And if the student needs more than that, then usually at that point I would refer, or I would maybe get a social worker from the county, and they might be coming in and helping support that student if there's other needs that are needing to be more addressed further than just the short-term counseling.
So you have to be thinking about what's happening in the home environment and
yes,
among their peers, all kinds of things.
Yes. The more data pieces I can get, the better my intervention can be. So talking with the parents, trying to figure out, is this happening at home? Is this something that just started happening? Or has this been every year that this student has struggled with this? How are they doing? I might go out and watch them on the playground. How are they doing socially? Are they playing with other kids, or are they sitting by themselves or walking alone? I might observe them in the classroom if they're struggling academically, just to kind of see, like, okay, it didn't appear that they were paying any attention during the lesson, or, oh, no, they look like they're working hard. And just trying to figure out all the different pieces to the puzzle is helpful as much as you can figure out. There's a lot of times that we don't know all the things, but the more we know, the better we can help.
Well, that's great. And pieces to the puzzle this year have been, well, it's been a special year. I guess all students have seen some forms of stress this year that they haven't normally seen. Have you noticed more stress?
Well, this year, I really, before we got back to school, I started trying to really figure out as an elementary student where the struggles could potentially be. And one of the huge ones is knowing how someone is feeling without seeing their face. Knowing how they interact, and did they think that was funny, or did they not really like what I just did? And especially with our young kindergarten, first grade, pre-K, that's a big development piece. And so my lessons at the beginning were all about how to tell how someone's feeling when they have a mask on, by their body language, by their eyebrows, you know, what they're saying. And then also after that, we started working on how to cope with strong feelings. Because of everything that's going on, I felt like all of the students would benefit from, if I'm feeling stressed, how can I cope? What are some ways? And we practiced those ways and talked about them. If I'm feeling really angry. And those are skills that they need every year, but it seemed like especially this year when there's a lot of feelings going on about a lot of different things in our world.
Yeah, it's it is funny. I was joking earlier on another program about not being able to, even among your friends, really tell what's on the other side of that mask.
Mm-hmm.
That's a challenge we've all encountered. Well, you talked about the whole student in an earlier session. So tell us more about how you get your arms around all of that, the whole student.
Well, beyond looking at just what is their academic levels, but realizing and recognizing that a student comes to you with other needs than just can they read, can they write. And if we can address those other needs, then that might also, in part, help their reading and their writing. So what's going on at home? Are they getting enough food to eat, or are they hungry when they arrive at school? Are they sleeping at home and going to bed at a good bedtime? What's going on with attendance? Why are they not here? Because when they're not here, they can't learn what the other kids are learning. So it puts them already at a disadvantage. So what's going on with that? And that's where that whole student piece is versus just looking at the academics.
And the whole student involves the whole family in a lot of cases. They may have parents that are both working and away from the home on the evening shift, and nobody's there for the kind of support they might need. And Tracy, we'll come back to that in a minute and talk about all of your students and and this remote and distance learning environment and hybrid and everything that we've seen this year. Allie, you mentioned interventions, and you've used that word a couple of times, and you've given some good examples, but what are the most common kinds of interventions that you see in elementary school?
Well, for example, right now, I recognized that over 50% of our failing grades and attendance all came from the same group, and that's new students. Those transfer students, the transient students that have come into our building. And so that's where I decided to do some extra intervention to try to help and meet that gap. So I do small groups for first grade, second grade, third grade, and fourth grade for new students throughout the year, several different times. I'm starting one this week for those grades, for the new kids that came after January and after spring break. And the group focuses on feeling like you're a part of the building. What are those rules and expectations that we have here at Sycamore? Who are your support people? Those things that we take for granted because we talk about them at the beginning of the year, but those students missed that. And so if we can try to catch that early, maybe that will help that behavior not be something that comes up. If they know who they can talk to, if they're struggling with making connections, if they know, like, oh, you're the school counselor, you can help with that. then they'll hopefully be more apt to come and talk to me about it. And then as far as individual interventions, I see a lot of kids that might have conflict with another student, and we might do some conflict resolution. I see a lot of kids who maybe have had a loss in their life. It could be anything from a pet up to a grandparent or even a parent. And I see students who maybe are struggling with academics, and I'll meet with them one-on-one, and we'll look at grades, and we'll make goals, and we'll try to see if we can address that before the next 9 weeks comes around.
A topic that was on everyone's mind last year, maybe more than this, is bullying. And mm-hmm. do you see that in elementary school, and how do you tell the difference between just normal social interaction between kids and the bully?
Well, that's one of those hot topics that people talk about a lot. As far as elementary students go, I often will tell parents and kids that we are learning. And as we're learning, we're going to have some times when we don't get along and we don't agree. And so we got to figure out how to handle when we're mad at someone. So we do Kelso's Choices is what it's called, and it's conflict resolution, and it gives 9 ways. And we practice those ways of how to handle a conflict. So most of the things in that, what I'm trying to say is most of the things I see are conflict.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be a friend today, and then they won't be a friend tomorrow,
yeah.
and then they'll be a friend again. Versus a bullying situation, there's an identified victim and an identified bully. And there is an imbalance of power. So it could be social power or size power,
yeah,
you know, different
size
things
is a
like
big
that.
One, I'm sure.
And then we also talk about how bullying is repeated. It's not just we weren't friends today, or he was in a bad mood and he was rude to me today, but it's something that's happening. They're doing it over and over to that student.
Wow. And it's been a long time since I was on the elementary school playground, but I can picture that kind of thing going on. Well, this is Local Matters. We are talking to Tracy Neighbors and Allie Evans from Sycamore Elementary School, and we are going to take a quick break and be right back. Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking Education Matters today, and we are talking to Tracy Neighbors and Allison Evans from Sycamore Elementary School, and we've had a great discussion about the RAMP program, a national award that they've recently received, and about the role of the counselor. So now we want to talk just a little bit more about the great students and faculty at Sycamore and give the principal a chance to brag on her school a little bit. So it's been an unusual year, but we're almost through it.
Right. I think one thing that we need to keep in mind is that we have never been through a pandemic before. So as we go, we learn. And that is one thing that I try to remind the faculty and staff is that we're learning as we go. No one has been through this before to really tell us what to do. And that seems to help. The fear of the unknown is the one thing that comes to mind for me as school principal. Parents sending their babies to school, not knowing about the virus and not sure about what's going to happen. But our district office and the state of Tennessee has done a wonderful job providing us with the necessary supplies and materials that we need to clean, just the mask that we need. If a student comes in without a mask, we have that for them. Most wear their own, but some, you know, forget mm-hmm. them at home. We've had cleaning supplies, hand sanitizer, just anything we've needed has been provided, and that's been a blessing. The other thing is the technology that we've needed that has been through a grant and has been very nice to receive some of that and be able to have those if the need arises to go remote again. But one thing that really sticks out in my mind is that we started out in July with 75 approximately remote learners. And again, it was parents just afraid, not knowing what to expect. And I think today maybe we're down to about 15.
Wow.
For our school.
Yeah.
Now, I know other schools may have more. We have a smaller
sure.
population, but I think it's the trend across the county that we started out with quite a few, and then we have
people are getting
dwindled
a bit more comfortable with coming back toward
we're
normal.
Understanding more and more about you know how to do things right, and possibly this will end soon, we hope. The other thing is just the technology piece was something that we did not predict to be a real bear, teaching parents how to help their child at home with some of the things that we as older folks may not know how to, you know, utilize a computer.
My 12-year-old granddaughter has a lot more technology savvy than I do, for sure.
And it was all new to some parents, especially even like grandparents that were raising their grandchildren.
And they never signed up for this kind of thing.
Right. And so we really had a lot of technology concerns and questions, more so than anything else at the beginning, especially last March when we were trying. And so that has been something that we did not anticipate, just the help that was needed for that. So we have managed to provide technology assistance as needed. The hotspots that we have provided for us, you know, we've been able to give parents information to help them use those. But I can't say enough how much our central office and the state of Tennessee has done for us. And then pulling together, teachers have learned how to work together to plan. If you talk to them today, I'm sure that they would tell you that in the beginning it was very hard to get all of the information together and uploaded. But as they've worked as a team over time, they feel very comfortable now doing that and recording themselves. One of my teachers said, I just got over how I sounded, you know, on the computer and what I looked like. I just had to get over that and go ahead and do it and submit it and really let it go. So those are a few things that we have seen that we did not anticipate. But the students, because our county has been so proactive in technology, really have a lot of knowledge with the Google Chromebook and the Google format, and they have done very well with that. The concern that as a principal I see may be the kids that don't log on, that their parents don't check to make sure that they're logging on when they need to, and that would have been during the end of March and, you know, when we have had to go remote. So, but that's very few and far between, and we just contact them, and communication's the key. I would advise and really, suggest anybody that has a question, do not be afraid to ask. We're here to help, and we want to help. And a lot of our folks are in the same boat as our parents because they have young children at home, school-age children at home. So we know what they're going through, and we want to help them with anything that may come up throughout the whole process.
And we're learning more as we go on, but it's been a challenge for all of us, hasn't it?
But we have got through it, and I can say that it's been with a great attitude. There are times that we've had our moments of being sick of the mask, but as school principal, I have not had to discipline anybody.
Wonderful.
Or say a word to a student about their mask because they don't complain. They just do it because we ask them to, and they're wonderful.
It's the new normal for them.
They are wonderful about it. Our students have been great.
And masks are still important. We need to remind our audience of that. We're getting through this, but we're not past the masks yet, I don't think.
Right.
It's funny. I was on a Zoom international conference this past weekend, Friday, Saturday, and we had participants come in from India and from South America, and they would, even on Zoom, some of them would be wearing the mask, and then they would, as they saw we were comfortable, they'd take it off so we could actually, when we're 1,000 miles away, that those droplets can't.
Well, one thing that we've had a problem with is just getting to know who the students are and their names this year, especially our new students, as Allie mentioned, because we can't see their face.
Yeah.
And it is hard to, know who they are with a mask on.
And they have a new teacher, and they've got to relate to that teacher behind a mask. And that's, I'm sure that's challenging. Mm-hmm. How many second language kinds of students do you have? Do you have a number at Sycamore?
We do. Actually, in our data team meetings today, I can tell you exactly. We have 29.
How about that?
In our program that receive services through our program. Mm-hmm. About three languages at Sycamore. And sometimes that can be a challenge, but we have wonderful support with our ESL, you know, coordinator, Alice Brown, and she will get us what we need. We contact her, and the teachers that are in each building help with that as well. So it's really not an issue for us because I think everyone knows and realizes that we have lots of diversity, and we welcome it, and the language barrier is not a problem. We can find the resources that we need to help us with that.
That's great. That's great. And the world is a diverse place, and our students need to prepare for that, don't mm-hmm. they?
Yes. So. It just helps our student population be more rich and mm-hmm. have more experience. We love having diversity in our building. And just that's about 15% of our population, mm-hmm. the 29.
And I used to, at Tech, we would have students from all over the world, and I would tell our students who grew up locally that they're the best and the brightest, and they may go to Seattle, to Boeing, or to Dallas, to one of the big computer firms. Wherever they go, they're going to see a diverse workforce and a diverse group of people in their customers and in their workforce population. So this is just good preparation for students to get ready for that. Well, what do you think, either of you in this, what do you think will be the long-term systematic effects of the pandemic? Will any of these curriculum adjustments or adjustments of the school day, are they going to stay with us forever?
Well, there's no way to predict that. I do know that our county is currently preparing for a summer camp, mm-hmm. a summer learning camp, and we are identifying kids that may have been remote part of the year and have come back or may have just struggled with being out from March until, you know, the end of May last year. And parents can sign their students up for the summer learning camp, and it will be free. If parents want to know more about that, they can look on the Putnam County Schools Facebook page. There's a Spanish and an English link to sign your, or actually to see if you're interested. And then mm-hmm. there will be an application, I'm sure, that comes out for that. And students that are identified or need those extra, you know, academic pushes will be able to attend that camp for some period of weeks in the summer. I think it may be four. Originally, I think it was six, but I think it may be four now.
And those summer camps can make a big difference, even in years when we didn't have the pandemic. Their summer school can sometimes be really helpful to a student mm-hmm. and to the family. So we're glad to see that.
I was going to say, I love that you asked that question, because I really do think that going through this pandemic is going to help our students be more prepared for life, because things happen in life and those challenges are what we grow through. And so even though this has been so hard, I think these kids are going to be more prepared. I mean, if another pandemic comes their way, it's not going to be, they'll be like, oh yeah, that happened back in, you know, 2020.
I can get through this. Really? I got through that pandemic. Yeah. That's a great point to end on. We want to compliment our students and the parents and the teachers, mm-hmm. all of whom have just done so much to get us through this school year. This is Local Matters, and we have been talking to Tracy Neighbors and Allison Evans from Sycamore Elementary School. It's been an honor to have you on the program. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.